Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington, D.C. that the government does not want you to know. By now, I think everyone listening to my voice has heard the news. George Tenet has resigned. George Bush says that Tenet resigned for personal reasons, and in fact, he said George Tenet was doing a superb job. You may recall that George Bush also said that Donald Rumsfeld, our Secretary of Defense, was doing a superb job. And I'm getting concerned about W's education. Maybe he doesn't know what the word superb means. Maybe we ought to tell him. I'm going to focus my entire show tomorrow on George Tenet's resignation. It's something that I've called for. And in fact, I did a show on May 13th. You can check it out by going to my website at www.radioinsidescoop.com. Check out my old show, because I did a show called You're Fired, where we all played Donald Trump for a day. And no one chose George Tenet except me. He was my fiery of choice, and I ended the show with George Tenet, you're fired. And I do want to talk about that, and again, we'll spend all day tomorrow about that. So I hope you will tune in tomorrow at 3 Eastern time for that. But hey, you know, I schedule my shows in advance. And today, if you've looked at my website at www.radioinsidescoop.com, you know that today I scheduled the topic, Was Bill Cosby Right? And I do think it's a very important topic. 50 years and 17 days ago, the United States Supreme Court issued what is, in my opinion, its greatest decision ever. The Board of Education of Topeka, Kansas, and 4 other boards of education, where it held that states could not forcibly separate students into white and black and say that only the white kids could go to the white schools and only the black kids could go to the black schools. Now, way back in 1896, in the case of Plessy v. Ferguson, the Supreme Court said that states could do that, that Jim Crow laws, these laws separating whites and blacks, were constitutional. You could separate the races as long as you treated them equally. Separate is okay if it's equal. Well, Brown versus Board of Education, as we all know, came to the conclusion, startling then, and I think pretty obvious to us today, that separate is not equal. Separate is inherently not equal. If you forcibly separate people into various boxes, you cannot treat them equally. Well, I think it's important to recall that and it wasn't just southern states, but they were mostly southern states. I mean, Kansas, I don't really think of as a southern state. The District of Columbia was, of course, controlled by Congress, but that these states and localities, that the majority of the people in these states wanted the Jim Crow laws, wanted the segregation. It's very important when people talk about democracy that we understand that the majority of the people in Alabama were white, and they elected an all-white legislature, and that legislature put into place laws that separated whites and blacks. Brown versus Board of Education was not a popular decision when it came down, and sometimes we have to remember that our Constitution protects equality and overrides the rights of the majority. And, of course, that's a larger discussion for another time. What I want to do is I want to talk tonight, today, about Bill Cosby and about his comments, because I did my show 17 days ago on Brown versus Board of Education. Again, you can check out my archive on my website if you want. But my show didn't get quite the amount of attention that Bill Cosby did, and I think it's understandable why. Bill Cosby, speaking at a 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education, said some pretty controversial things, some pretty insulting things about poor blacks, about those scale. And I think it really struck a nerve, because on the one hand, I think many of us recognize that a lot of what Bill Cosby had to say was true. Bill Cosby was basically blaming a lot of the circumstances of poor blacks and possibly poor people in general, though he seemed to be mostly talking about blacks, on themselves, on their own cultural qualities, on not supporting education enough, on not having family values enough. And I mean family values in the good way, not in the way that it's been used recently to basically, you know, oppress people. But general morality, general values. And yet, on the other hand, I think many of us realize that as true as what Bill Cosby had to say, that it was kind of unfair. It's certain poor people that some of the burden, indeed, some of the reasons why people are poor are totally beyond their control, or at least primarily beyond their control, and caused by the system. They may call it the man. Maybe they used to. Probably they don't anymore. But really the system that people like George Bush and the Republican Party have developed systems that actually keep poor people in place, and maybe to some extent liberals too. So I want to have a good long discussion about what Bill Cosby said. I'm going to read to you a lot of the quotes he had to say and give you my comment on it, but really encourage you to comment, discussion here, a dialogue. Whenever you talk, it's important to say the things, and whatever you think about Bill Cosby's speech, I praise the fact that at least he brought these issues out in the open. They need to be discussed. I don't think he was quite fair, but I think he told a lot of truth, and I'm going to go through, and I'm going to encourage you to call in as well. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. It's a toll-free number. 877-577-2667, if you prefer the numbers, as some of you do. Or you can send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. And like I said, I really want to encourage you to comment on this broadcast as I read to you some of the things that Bill Cosby had to say. Let me read some of them to you. Quote, I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange jumpsuit, meaning a prison jumpsuit. Where were you when he was 2? Where were you when he was 12? Where were you when he was 18? And how come you don't know he had a pistol? Unquote. Another quote by Bill Cosby. 5, 6 children, same woman, 8, 10 different husbands or whatever. Pretty soon you're going to have DNA cards to tell who you are making love to. You don't know who this is. It might be your grandmother. I'm telling you, they're young enough. Unquote. Or listen to this third quote by Bill Cosby, speaking on the 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education. Quote, I can't even talk the way these people talk. Why you ain't, where you is, I don't know who these people are. And I blamed the kid until I heard the mother talk. And then I heard the father talk. It's all in the house. You used to talk a certain way on the corner, and when you got in the house, you switched to English. Everybody knows that at some point you switched to English, except these knuckleheads. Well, those three quotes. I've got a whole stack more, and we'll be reading them throughout the show. But let's talk about these quotes. Let's talk about the truth, or lack of truth, and more importantly, I think, than the truth, because I think we all know there's some truth with some people, clearly not all poor people, clearly not all black people. There's certainly some cases that he's referring to. Oh, whether this is fair. Is this fair? Are we, to some extent, blaming the victim? What is the culture of poverty, and whose fault is it? And at some point, I don't like to throw blame around, but sometimes you have to try to talk about blame to get to a solution. And I want to talk about that at the end of the hour. How do we solve the problems of our poor black ghettos, our poor white ghettos? How do we solve the problems of poverty in America? And is Bill Cosby onto something? 877-57-SCOOP, 877-577-2667. Let's deal with the first quote. I'm just going to go step by step through them, and I'll read some more as we go through the broadcast. Bill Cosby says, I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange jumpsuit. He means a prison jumpsuit. Where were you when he was 2? Where were you when he was 12? Where were you when he was 18? And how come you don't know he had a pistol? Well, I guess he's got a point. I mean, parents should know what their children are up to. And yet, then again, I think of the Columbine killers, right? Or that kid in Oregon, I think it was, who killed his parents. Parents don't always know what their kids are up to. They can't watch their kids every moment of the day. And I don't know that this is a white or black issue, except to the extent that I do think that when you have poor parents, they are more likely to have to work 2 jobs. And richer parents who work 2 jobs can afford a nanny. Most poor people can't. And so you have a lot of latchkey children. You have children who are living at home, and they can't be watched. And you got to remember, the Republican Party very much wants to cut welfare. I supported, though I think it was very controversial, Clinton's Welfare Reform Act in 1996, supported by the Republicans as well, to basically say that poor people have to work to get welfare. But I also supported the idea that you need child care for people who have to work. And what's interesting to me is that George Bush has always been against child care for working mothers, working fathers that are getting, in essence, workfare, that are getting money, that aren't making it above the poverty line. And my question is, what are these poor people supposed to do? If they don't work, well, they're punished, right? They stay home with the kids, they're punished. They have to work. Okay, so they work. And then they leave their kids alone because there's no child care. And then, if their kids commit crimes, they say, well, where were you? Where were the parents? Well, then you can go back and say, why do they have kids in the first place? But no, no, conservatives don't support abortion. They don't support abortion. They want these poor women to have their kids. And then you say, well, why are they having, unprotected sex in the first place? And you find out, well, conservatives don't support contraception teaching. They don't support sex education. So basically it comes down to the point of if you make one mistake when you're 16, you have sex, well, you deserve to be punished for the rest of your life. But again, we have cases where we have poor people not knowing the life ahead of them, not knowing the choices they have, because richer people can know more about contraception, can afford more to use it, can afford more to use an abortion. We have Republicans who don't even want to pay for a poor woman. They don't want to spend $250, so she can get an abortion. All right, I understand that. That's part of the abortion debate. But then when she has the kid, they don't want to provide for the kid either. So I guess Bill Cosby is right. Parents should look out for their kids. But I want to point out that we should also have a system that helps parents look out for their kids. Maybe we should have youth centers. Maybe we should have, certainly I support greater church involvement. I have no problem with that. It doesn't have to be religious. It can be community centers. Whatever happened to community centers? Places where kids could go after school, maybe play basketball, maybe join the chess club, maybe do social service for other people. Whatever happened to that? I remember in Bill Clinton's time when he proposed midnight basketball games. And the Republicans said, now this is pork. This is pork. Giving to Halliburton, that's not pork. Making rainforests in Iowa, no, that's not pork. That's necessary. But real pork is midnight basketball games. Who wants to play basketball at midnight? And so they cut the program. The Republican Congress cut Clinton's midnight basketball program. And I remember thinking that it was brilliant. Because folks, if they're not playing basketball at midnight, where do you think they are? Where do you think they are? I mean, here we have a problem with kids in gangs and selling drugs and on the street and doing things we don't want them to do, but we're not going to provide them something else to do. So I think midnight basketball, well, that's one of the solutions. So that's my response to at least this first quote by Bill Cosby. Again, not that it's not true. I think there's a lot of truth in it, but that we should look at the systemic problems, the problems behind it. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear if you agree or if you disagree. Please call in 877-57-SCOOP and let me know what you think. 877-57-SCOOP. We had some callers and they fell off, so come on back. You can also send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. I want to move on to another Bill Cosby comment and give my comment on it and find out what you think. Quote, 5, 6 children, same woman, 8, 10 different husbands or whatever. Pretty soon you're going to have DNA cards to tell you who you're making love to. All right, so Bill Cosby's condemning promiscuity. All right, I understand that. Again, I guess I would focus on the fact that it's not endemic to poor people. What I mean by that is that, sure, there are lots of poor promiscuous people, absolutely. There are lots of rich promiscuous people. I'll never forget when Representative Bob Barr, conservative of Georgia, was defending the Defense of Marriage Act in 1996, the act to prevent gay people from getting married, and he was talking about the sanctity of marriage. And Congressman Barney Frank, gay congressman from Massachusetts, said to Bob Barr, now, which of your marriages was so sacred? Was it the first, the second, the third, or the fourth? Bob Barr thought that was out of line. But I think it's a fair question. There are lots of people in our society that have kids by different parents. And again, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I am not saying it's a good thing. What I'm saying is it poor people? Or is it all of us? And is it the case that maybe money, when you have money, it's easier to keep a family together? I mean, what do people fight about? They fight about money a lot. Or, am I being too apologetic? Am I too being, let me know. Let me have it. 877-57-SCOOP. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine. What's your first name and where are you from?
It's Armin.
Hey, Armin, how are you?
How you doing, brother?
So you agree with me or you disagree with me?
I pretty much agree with you. You're asking a lot of questions that need to be, asked, and I'd like to comment if I could.
Please do.
I think Clinton, President Clinton, was a wise man, and he said culturally, and as a society, he says we're either going to all, moving forward, grow together, or we're going to grow apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Republicans talk the talk, but the majority of them, when they're talking the talk, or a lot of them, I shouldn't say necessarily majority of them, you know, when they were, you know, criticizing Clinton, they had their girlfriends on the side.
Right.
You know, they sell us out, the average people, to their corporate bosses and pimps.
Yep.
And, you know, they got a hell of a minimum living wage. We pay for 72% of their health care. They got a fabulous retirement plan. So they're living in a bubble that's not like reality, where most of us see them the way that we do, and they can't see themselves because I don't think they look at themselves. And I think that Clinton understood this, and I really think that in his heart he knew that the only hope for this country, and we can talk the talk and just, you know, keep this theater rolling, you know, the right and the left and all this other stuff and philosophy and all this, and study this for, you know, as long as the money holds up and before it collapses, we can just keep talking. But he understood, President Clinton understood, that one of the biggest problems was our health care and the cost of it and access to all the people.
You know what strikes me, Armin?
And they just tore him apart.
Yep.
The big insurance companies,
yep,
that have too much power, where power absolutely corrupts.
You know what strikes me, Armin, is I remember the thing that they most made fun of with Bill Clinton, I think it was their favorite thing to mock him, was and I don't know that he ever said the statement, but I think there's a lot of truth that he felt it, is when they had Clinton say, "I feel your pain." And they made fun of that. Oh, isn't that funny? Isn't that hilarious? Clinton feeling their pain. And to me, their mocking Clinton told me a lot more about themselves than it did about Bill Clinton. I actually think Bill Clinton did feel other people's pain. I think when he talked with, you know, whether it was a poor mom on welfare or someone in a trailer or someone,
mm-hmm,
from any economic class, white, black, mm-hmm, poor, rich, I think he really did feel their pain. I think he really did feel their hardship. I think it's wonderful and incredible and terrific to have a president who actually feels the pain of ordinary Americans. And the Republicans not only couldn't feel other people's pain, they thought it was so silly that they mocked it. I mean, they actually mocked the idea that a Democratic leader elected by the American people would actually feel the pain of the American people. They thought that was the funniest thing in the world. And to me, of all the things Bill Clinton did, it was that, I guess, affected me the most. I remember after 9/11, and Clinton went to the side of the World Trade Center, actually before Bush did, and just had people crying on his shoulder. You know, just crying on his shoulder. And I don't know, maybe that's not manly to the Republicans. To me, that was just the kind of president that I always wanted, a president who actually did understand ordinary Americans.
Do you remember when President Clinton had a news conference and he was on stage, and I can pretty clearly remember this, and we were talking about health care, and he was indicating that, if I, you know, interpreted him correctly, and I think I was, that he kind of felt in his heart, and I really think the guy has a heart.
I think he does too.
He's not perfect.
No, of course not.
He wasn't perfect, but I think that I got to say this. Let me say this, please.
Go ahead.
I got to say this about Bill and Hillary Clinton. Yeah, I know about their CIA connections, have read about and stuff, and I know all these other things and the people they've been mixed up with, some really terrible people, including the Bushes. But when you take all that aside, I think that they were maturing people, and I think that when they got in and they rose to power and they got elected, that in their hearts, I watched them the first 6 months that they were both in there. I think in their hearts that they were the most sincere, honest, you know, concerned people we had come forth for a long time that really cared about all of us as a whole.
Well, Armin,
all of us.
I think you put it best.
You with me?
Yeah,
they,
I think you put it best.
Did,
yeah.
I think the people that they did deals with in the past that are ruthless, amoral, I won't use all the words, but terrible human beings, stepped up to the plate, and then that's when they brought the kitchen sink out about everything about these people that they had held back for years and years. It was okay when the Clintons was working on the behalf of the amoral crowd and furthering their obsessive compulsive acquisitions of wealth that's not even necessary in any theory or any study in any rational philosophy of any system in the history of the world, you know, as long as they were motivating or moving their agenda forward and their economics forward and their lust for power forward, they
yep.
All these things were quiet, but boy, when they went over the line,
yep,
and they reached out to the common people,
yep,
and we're going to give us all affordable, guaranteed health care,
right,
no matter what happened to our jobs,
and education,
no matter what happened to our income.
Else.
We would always get accessible, my God,
yep,
they put the right-wing hate machine on. You know, these people that would do that to a society and a culture because they philosophically believe in a party allegiance so strong that they'll do such evil things,
hey,
as untold lies, half-truths, and stories for,
yep,
money. You know what? They're nothing but whores. They deserve, in my opinion, hell, what they did to Clinton in the terrible way that this attack dog, right-wing, half-truth, evil,
yeah, and
wicked,
they're still doing
obsessive,
it. And they're
not
still doing
like
it.
Attack dogs do.
Hey,
now,
Armin,
get back to where we're at now, if I can. I'm sorry for talking so much.
That's okay. I'll tell you, I appreciate your call and I appreciate your passion.
Listen, but you know what? Bill Clinton and Hillary, look, we live in the United States of America. It costs more to live here than Mexico, and it costs more to live here than China. That's not our culture to have a bowl of rice a day and to have a head of a gun pointed at us and force us to do everything so an elite bunch can run around in obsessive comfort. That's not the character of America. That's not the history of America. That's not what made this country great. That's not what made other people want to come here and leave their families behind.
Hey, Armin.
And put roots here and be a part of America.
Armin,
that's
you know I agree with you, brother. I do have to go and take another call, all right? But I want to tell you, I really appreciate what you have to say, and I appreciate your passion. Thanks for calling, Armin. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, I think Armin put it best when he talked about the Republicans and the bubble they live in. They live in a bubble. They live in a bubble where everything's provided for them. The classic example, of course, is George W. Bush. Everything is provided for him. He can totally fail in his business, but he doesn't pay a price because the Saudis come in and save him. He can do cocaine, but he's not punished. He's not punished. No, black people are punished. Poor people are punished. George Bush won't say whether or not he did cocaine. He doesn't have to go to Vietnam. He can get in the National Guard when no one else can. He doesn't even have to show up. He lives in a bubble. He doesn't live in the real world, and I think Armin brought that out really well. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine. What's your comment about Bill Cosby or anything else we've talked about?
Hi. I have a comment about not just Bill Cosby making the statement, but I think what he meant was the poor people in general, because, you know, you're talking about where are the community centers. Well, you know what? Like the health, mental health facilities locally and community centers are all being taken away because the states have to cut funding.
Yep.
So you're losing money there. So
it's true.
Where else do children have to go? I grew up in a very poor family. My parents, fortunately, remained married, which was a benefit for me. But because of growing up in a poor family, both of my parents worked, and I did not receive the education that I would have or should have, I think, because my parents were uneducated, and it goes down the generations, I feel.
Yeah, and in fact, one of the things I'm going to talk about a little bit later on is Bill Cosby's complaint about language and saying that people aren't speaking proper English. And of course, there's truth to that. I mean, you know, they're not. And yet, where do people hear English? Where do people hear language? They hear it in their homes. They hear it in their schools. And if their parents aren't educated, it's kind of hard to imagine the kids will be unless we have better schools.
Exactly. You know, I'm 31 and I'm going out for my master's degree as a nurse practitioner. But I think because my parents stayed married, they stayed in a marriage, they didn't drink, they had all these extra benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think growing up in a poor family was a benefit for me because I can relate both ways. I go back and it's a different world. Like I see people in my area when I go back there at home, and
can I ask where you're from?
They don't speak proper English.
Yep.
And you know what? They don't understand it. To them, that is something that's okay. That's normal. They don't see the difference.
Can I ask where you're from? Do you want to say
Pennsylvania?
From Pennsylvania. What's interesting to me is that you know, a lot of peoples, have their own language. They have their own way of speaking, and it's not just poor and rich people. It's not just black and white or anything like that. I mean, people who play golf, you know, they have their own language. Lawyers have their own language. Doctors have their language. Gay people have their language. It's not just immigrants. A lot of groups have, Christians, frankly, have their own language and, specific ways of approaching and saying things. And I think it's actually okay for people to have their own language as long as they understand that it's important to have one common language for all of us to share as Americans. And I think that sometimes if you live in a poor neighborhood and all you hear around you is a certain kind of non-standard English, well, that turns out to be what you're speaking. And I think Bill Cosby was a little harsh. Can I have your name, please?
Jennifer.
Stick on Jennifer. I want to read to you a quote by Bill Cosby on this point and get your comment on it.
Certainly.
He said, quote, I can't even talk the way these people talk. Why you ain't, where you is, I don't know who these people are, and I blame the kid until I heard the mother talk, and then I heard the father talk. It's all in the house. You used to talk a certain way on the corner, and when you got in the house, you switched to English. Everybody knows that at some point you switch to English, except these knuckleheads. You can't be a doctor with that kind of crap coming out of your mouth, unquote. What do you think about that comment?
Well, you know, I applaud him in some aspects, but, you know, you can't be a doctor if you don't have the education or the money to go on.
Right.
I wish I would have gone to medical school. I mean, I'm very happy to be a nurse. I love it. But when I went to school, education was not my prime focus. I had nobody there to motivate me. I mean, God love my parents, but they came from a family that was, you know, through the generations, you know, they didn't even graduate high school.
So they didn't motivate you, your parents?
I'm sorry, what?
Your parents did not motivate you.
No.
Did the schools motivate you?
I'm sorry, what?
Did the schools motivate you?
No,
how is it, Jennifer?
Unless you got the grades right from, you know, a young age,
yeah,
which don't even get me started in education, because, you know, if you're in fourth grade and you don't do, if you, like, don't do well in math, well, then in fifth grade, you know, in sixth grade, how are you ever going to catch up?
Right.
I mean, that's just a whole nother degree. But, I mean, Bill Cosby, was very harsh in saying, you know, it's the mothers and the children, the families. But, you know, it all comes from somewhere, and it's lack of education, and I can't emphasize it enough to our country that education should be the prime focus. You know, it's the only way. And also sex education you were talking about.
Right.
You know, there was a lady from the University of Pennsylvania.
You know what, Jennifer, hold that thought. I want to get back to you. Can you hang on the other side of the commercial break? We need to go to a break, but I want Jennifer to hang on. She's got some very good points, and she's also giving a good personal experience that I really think it's important for people to hear of all backgrounds. If you want to call in and join this discussion, please do. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com, and we'll be right back. Right after this.
Despicable is not a word that major corporate executives are used to having hurled at them by high elected officials, but the honchos of Diebold Inc. recently got this very word right in their corporate face. The hurler was Kevin Shelley, California's Secretary of State, and he was referring to his experience with Diebold's electronic voting machines in California's March primary elections. Computer glitches plagued that election, jeopardizing its outcome. For example, thousands of San Diego voters were turned away from the polls because Diebold machines malfunctioned. A subsequent investigation by a state panel of experts on electronic voting found that this company, the second largest purveyor of touchscreen voting machines in the country, had violated state law by installing untested and uncertified software in its machines, then lied about it. Their performance, their behavior is despicable, Shelley bluntly said. He also put action behind his words, banning the use of more than 14,000 Diebold machines for this November's election, saying that the machines are not secure and reliable. He also recommended that criminal charges be filed for what he called fraudulent actions by Diebold. Shelley had earlier ruled that by 2006, touchscreen voting machines in California must produce a paper receipt so voters can verify the electoral choices they make on these corruptible computers. But after this year's unpleasantness with Diebold, Shelley says he's now exploring ways to speed up this requirement. This is Jim Hightower saying, meanwhile, in Maryland, a voters group has filed suit to block the use of all 16,000 of Diebold's virtual voting machines in their state unless a paper verification system is installed on each of them. It's all a part of the growing grassroots rebellion to prevent the electronic theft of our elections. to join the fight. Go to www.verifiedvoting.org.
It's the stick it where it hurts to feel well patch. Works in a hurry to feel well patch. Lasts a long time to feel well. Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
Is pain keeping you from feeling well? Try the immediate, long-lasting pain relief of well patch. Well patch comes in a full line of pain-relieving patches that soothes your specific pain. For backache, arthritis, muscle pain, or stiff neck, put on a well patch.
Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington that the government does not want you to know. We're talking about the words of Bill Cosby, the quite controversial words of a comedian and pretty well-loved entertainer, Bill Cosby. But he had some harsh words for at least those on the lower economic scale when he talked at a celebration of the 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education. I've been reading some of that language. I'll continue to read it throughout the hour. Bill Cosby blames, I think it's fair to say, a lot of the problems of inner-city black poverty on the poor people themselves. And while I think a lot of that is true, I really don't dispute the truth of what he says with regard to some people, I also think that in some sense he's discounting some of the systemic problems, some of the problems that are beyond poor people's control, or at least largely beyond their control. But I want to hear from you. The number is 877-57-SCOOP. I want to hear what you think about all this. And on the line, in fact, I have Jennifer, who was raised in Pennsylvania, who, by her own words, was raised quite poor, and yet, without any motivation by her family or apparently her schooling, she managed to rise above poverty and is now a registered nurse. Congratulations, Jennifer. Tell our listeners, how do you think you rose out of your circumstances?
I think what happened was, for me, myself, I grew up in, literally, it's considered the poorest county in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Family of five, I think the income level was maybe 17,000.
Wow.
This was back in the late 80s, early 90s.
That's hard.
Oh, yes. I think a lot of it, you know, there's so many factors, I think. It's not just education. You also have to take into account family structure,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is obviously a big debate nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Love, you know, alcoholism, sexuality, things like that are, I think, make a big difference. But for me, I think it was getting out and going to college. You know, obviously, my first couple of years of college was really a waste of time.
Let me ask you, Jennifer, how'd you get to go to college? It's very hard for a lot of people, in a five kids in a family making $17,000 a year to get into college. How'd you do it?
Financial aid, of course.
Okay.
But it was in a college that was basically a community college.
Okay.
And
financial aid from the state of Pennsylvania?
Correct.
Federal?
Yes.
Okay.
And from there,
well, that shows you, in fact, that programs work, like the ones that we liberals
yes.
propose and are constantly being complained about for proposing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Wonderful.
So college was your way out.
That's what motivated me. I realized, you know, into the real world, you realize you have a decision of whether you want to, you know, have some money or you want to end up, you know, having children, you know, at a young age and not having a father,
sure.
you know, to, you know, somebody to father them. But, you know, for me, it was just really self-motivation. That's really where it came from.
And, I want to be clear. I do think self-motivation is a very powerful thing. I think people can, in our society, rise above poverty. It is the American dream. And so I don't in any way want to knock. None of what I say applies to everyone. None of what Bill Cosby says applies to everyone either. I just think that sometimes people, particularly someone who's as successful as Bill Cosby was, I think he can discount the real problems that poor people have today. And that's not to justify people who aren't trying to get a good education, aren't trying to get a good head. But for example, here's one of the things that Bill Cosby says. He says, these people are not parenting. They are buying things for their kids, $500 sneakers for what, and won't spend $200 for Hooked on Phonics. We can't excuse these people. These are generations who've been born here, and their English is worse than Koreans who have been here just a few years. Now, on one hand, I totally agree with him. Obviously, I agree that education is very important, and certainly I agree that $200 for Hooked on Phonics is much better than $500 sneakers. On the other hand, I also know that a lot of these kids live in a society where you might get beat up if you don't not wearing the right sneakers. I mean, they're living in a social structure in a, you know, where there are gangs and things that are common and parents who can't afford to move out of, the, of these ghettos, where $500 sneakers are their ticket to, you know, not getting beat up. So, again, I don't mean to justify it. Clearly, I think education is more important, but I guess I think there's another side that's not being said. I don't know. Jennifer, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, I don't want to, it sounds as though I disagree with what he says. I agree, because I know he's not, you know, making general statements, even though it sounds that way. I think it's education, but it's a lot of other things. You can't buy the Hooked on Phonics if you don't have anybody there at home setting an example.
Right.
Because the mother is out working two jobs.
Right.
Because unfortunately, it's somewhere in her life, she got involved in a relationship.
Right.
You know, obviously people are not prone to forgive people in America. I find that so often. You know, and, you know, maybe unfortunately that happened. So now she's working two jobs to take care of her children.
Yep.
So who's going to teach that Hooked on Phonics? It's not realistic.
Yeah.
It's not going to come in the community because states have to get rid of the funding, so they're getting rid of these programs.
The other thing is, I think that people don't realize, and I don't think it's a black thing. I think it may be a poor thing. You know, a lot of people complain that there are those in the black community that say when someone is all educated that they're acting white and they look down on higher education. And there's some truth in that. But I would also argue there's some truth in that with all poor people. I want to see it, Jennifer, and then I've got to move on to other callers. But I want to see if you agree with me that it's not just a black thing, that there are lots of people who think that anyone with an education is acting all uppity and think they're above someone else. And education is actually put down by people that haven't had those opportunities. Is that fair?
I don't think so. I'll tell you, my mother,
sure.
I have a disagree with my parents. I love them very much, but because I'm more educated, they sometimes look at me and think that I'm uppity.
Right.
That I am at all. I'm just more knowledgeable intelligent now.
Okay, no, I don't want you to misunderstand me, Jennifer. I agree with you that you're not. What I'm saying is that the perception is there, and in fact, you've just described it with your own parents. The perception is there among people who are not well educated, that people who are educated are somehow looking down on them. I remember back in the 1988 election when George Bush, who had went to Yale, George Bush Sr., was running against Mike Dukakis, who went to Harvard, and he said, look at this Harvard guy who thinks he's all uppity. And I don't understand an American culture that says if you win the gold at the Olympics, you know, you're to be praised. If you win the sports contest, you're terrific. If you're an astronaut, wonderful. But if you go to Harvard, oh, well, you know, we don't respect what you did. Why is it in America that high education is not respected and all these other things are? I don't get it. Jennifer, last word.
You know, well, just a comment about the Yale to Harvard thing.
Yeah.
Well, that was his only defense because he went to Yale for, you know.
Right.
For the wrong reasons, or I should say he got into Yale for all the wrong reasons.
Right. Why do you think that high education is not respected among certain groups of poor people?
Well, because they don't have the thinking. They aren't capable of thinking in terms of the difference.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think a lot of it's fear. I think it's people fear what they don't understand. And if they haven't had it, they fear it, and they fear people putting stuff down on them. Hey, Jennifer, I got to get some other calls, but you've been a terrific caller. I hope you'll call back again sometime.
Hey, thank you. I love your show.
Thanks. Let me go to another caller. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine. What's your first name and where are you from?
Hey, Mark. It's Brian from New Jersey.
Hey, Brian from New Jersey. What do you think about what we've been talking about?
I had something on the abortion topic.
Yeah.
Probably going to be hated, and you're going to get a lot of calls on this.
That's okay. You express your view. That's what we're all about here on the Inside Scoop.
You know, people need a license to drive a car and a license to own a gun.
Yep.
How about some kind of license to have kids? And don't base it on money. Don't base it on race. Don't base it on anything. You don't have any personal information on the test whatsoever.
Yep.
You ask them 100 questions about how they would handle certain situations if their kid did such and such a thing.
Yeah, if their baby cries, do you drop it? A?
Right. You know, basically, just like that. That was a, you know, good option.
B?
That's my...
Well, I don't know if that's a realistic option. I understand where you're coming from, Brian. I really do. Like I said, I don't know if it's a realistic option, but you're right. I mean, we do need better parenting. And one of the things that I think we can do is teach people how to be better parents. I mean, for all this stuff we teach, you know, I don't mean to knock geology. I got as much love of rocks as anybody. But, you know, I remember learning igneous and, I forgot, sedimentary. There's one more, metamorphic. Hey, I remember this. Pretty good. But I would think, with all due respect to geologists everywhere, that learning how to be a good parent is more important than geology, and that some basic parenting skills should be taught in our classes. And I don't know that I'm going to agree with you that we actually need a license to have kids, but I definitely agree with you that we should be teaching parenting skills. Definitely. Hey, thanks very much,
Thank
Brian.
You, Mark.
Let me go to another caller. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's Harmon again, Mark, and I want to make one other point, and I thank you very much for your show. I think it's fabulous.
Okay.
I think look at our system and look at who we hold in the highest esteem in the media.
Yeah.
And the highest position. Look at our reward system in this country and the incentives. In my opinion,
yeah,
the top is filthy, it's corrupt, it's a bunch of insiders. And they use the means through the media of deception to sustain their position. Point being, look at all the Wall Street people. They get rewarded and live lavishly by putting common people out of work and moving factories to countries that have forced labor.
Right.
This is, let's be honest. You guys want to talk about this. Let's open it up and really talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's don't let the people that are corrupt, that are controlling this country in the wrong direction, frame the debate. Let's put it out for you and me and the educated callers that call your show that know what truth is versus deception and know what reality is.
Well, you're absolutely right, Armin. And
look at our system, Mark. Look at our system. If you're an insider and if you're corrupt, you know, is Stewart going to go to jail? You know, is Kenneth Lay going to go to jail?
Yeah.
They screwed the people.
You know, what's
in
interesting
California.
About that? What's interesting about that is that Martha Stewart is actually very different from Ken Lay. Not that I have this great love for Martha Stewart, but she was not a corporate insider. People throw it all together. They misunderstand what was going on there. It actually
I don't want to get in that debate, but look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay?
Yeah.
He's sitting there. It's my understanding that he met with Kenneth Lay 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So these people perpetrated the most unjust, ruthless, in my opinion, conspiracy against the ratepayers of California.
Yeah,
okay,
no, that's
so
all true. That's all true. In terms of the
wait a minute, Mark.
No, I just want people to understand what you're saying.
After he gets elected, bond all that debt. So it's double indemnity that these enterprises get shafting the people.
Yeah,
and I think it's outrageous. Listen, you know who could stop all this stuff? You, Mark. You're the attorneys in Washington. You're the ones that should be held the highest accountable in our society because you guys got the power and the judges.
What do you want me to do, Armin?
You got the power to lock these people up and to make these people play by a level playing field and keep things in balance more so economically.
Armin, I wish I did have that power. I'll tell you, I went to Washington. I went to work for the House Judiciary Committee, the House Homeland Security Committee, to work for a member of Congress. I am a Democrat. I went there thinking I could make a difference. I did make somewhat of a difference. In fact, I actually helped to modify the Patriot Act, so it's slightly less bad than it is. It's still a bad bill. But I got to tell you, you know, when you're in a minority party, there's only so much you can do. The reason I am on the radio right now, Armin, the reason I'm on the radio is because I felt I could do more good spreading the news, telling the American public all they need to know, all that's going on in Washington the government didn't want them to know, than I could actually in the minority party. Now, if we elect a majority of Democrats in the House and the Senate, then you can really go after some of these corporate criminals and you can punish them. And so I'm doing my best, Armin.
I want to say one other thing, and you're right, and I understand your philosophy.
Okay, but be real quick, because I got other callers. Real quick.
Hey, the bottom line is the Republicans have held power since 94, and the country is where it's at now. The buck stops with the Republicans. They've had the majority. There's no excuse for the abuses that are being perpetrated on the American people in the corporate monopolistic times that we're having right now.
And
the
Armin
buck stops with the Republicans.
And
they've
Armin, you are in Florida, and so you can have a chance. If you can help bring Florida for the Democrats, we've got this election in the bag, and I know you'll do your part too. So I hope you'll do that, Armin.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, we got to go to a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about what Bill Cosby said. Let me give you a quote before we go to the break. because I think it somewhat relates to what Armin said. And I know that there have been a number of other callers that were hanging on the line. I hope you'll call back. Let me read what Bill Cosby wrote. See what he said. He said about poor black people. He said, these are not political criminals. These are people going around stealing Coca-Cola, people getting shot in the back of the head over a piece of pound cake, and then we run out and we're outraged saying the cops shouldn't have shot him. Well, what the hell was he doing with the pound cake in his hand? Well, I'll give you my comment on that and how it relates to all the corporate abuses that Armin was talking about right after the break. And if you want to call in, the number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. I hope you'll call back. And you can also send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com.
A company called Applied Digital Solutions wants you to undergo a surgical procedure to implant a tiny RFID microchip in your arm. Why would you want to do this? Because radio frequency ID chips will eliminate the heavy burden of having to carry credit cards and remember your ATM numbers. Instead, your arm becomes your card and ID number. Simply run your arm under a scanner, and your embedded radio chip sends a digital signal to the computer, allowing you to complete your transaction. ADS calls its microchip VeriPay. There's only one rational reason that ADS executives think we'll submit to this. They're insane. Insane, but serious. They insist that this technological leap is needed because many people lose their credit cards. VeriPay solves that problem, says a corporate PR flack, cheerfully noting that ADS's chip is subdermal and very difficult to lose. You don't leave it sitting in the back seat of a taxi, he said. Subdermal or not, your ID number still can be stolen by a geeky thief who rigs up a device to intercept your radio-transmitted number, then plays it back later to your ATM machine, emptying your account. If your number is stolen, or if you simply switch credit card companies or banks, what are you to do? No problem, says the PR guy. If you don't want it anymore, you can go to a doctor and have it removed. I call it an opt-out feature, he said gaily. Swell. Instead of simply calling your credit card company to cancel your card, you'd have to call a surgeon. This is progress. Still, ADS is banking on you to get chipped, as they cheerily put it, even offering a $50 discount to the first 100,000 people who sign up. This is Jim Hightower saying, by the way, the honchos of ADS are such business geniuses that the company's stock plummeted from $12 a share 3 years ago to about 40 cents today. I wouldn't entrust two bits to them, much less my arm.
It's difficult enough to work your way through this jungle called life every day without having to carry an 800-pound gorilla of high-interest student loans around with you. So just do what over 300,000 people have already done and call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. College Loan Corporation will gladly give you the advice you need while helping you look into interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest federal rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How are you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop. We're discussing the controversial speech that Bill Cosby gave, where he talked about the problems of poverty, the lower economic scale, as he put it. Cosby said, I didn't say all black people from the lower classes were to blame, but I said that when you have a 50% graduation rate and some people can't put two sentences together and can't write or spell, you've got people who put themselves on a track to failure. His comments were very critical of poor black people and in some extent poor people in general. And I think there's a lot of truth in what Bill Cosby had to say, but I also think it was a bit unfair. I think that while what he had to say was important, there are systemic problems that are broader than that. And there's kinds of things that government can help fix. I want to see what you think. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. I want to read a comment by Angel Lopez. Angel writes regarding the comments, sent a few emails. I think it is fair, Angel writes. My father was dirt poor, worked two jobs, too proud to take welfare. He was always there for me and my sister, always. I was a latchkey kid, and I turned out fine. Family values is the key. My father lucked out later on, taking a job as a school bus driver, and things changed for the better. I had a mother and a father. They were both always there for me. Angel goes on to write another email. Dude, look at my last name, Angel Lopez writes. I'm first generation. I was lucky enough to have the teachers who were dedicated enough to give a damn about the children. Neither of my parents made it past the sixth grade, but I got my diploma, and if I had the money back, then I would have gone to college. Almost did, thanks to Clinton City Volunteer Corps and AmeriCorps. Again, on the language issue, I had my share of good times in Chico and the Man and Sanford and Son, but I also had my Sesame Street and Electric Company as well. Angel, you raise a lot of good points. Let me deal with them one by one. First of all, about your family structure, your parents were there. They were too proud to take welfare. You say you're first generation, and let me just say that, and I hope I'm not accused of being racist here, but I think it's pretty clear, just in my own experience, that immigrants to this country work pretty hard, work very hard. Most people who have the gumption to get out of their country, out of their poor country, and I've seen it, I lived in Southern California, there's no question it was true among the Mexican immigrants and Central American immigrants, that came to this country. They worked very hard for very low wages, and I think that's actually true of most immigrants, most immigrant generations. I know my great-grandparents, when they came to this country 100 years ago, worked very hard, worked in sweatshops. And then I think, I don't know, I think we don't work so hard. I think there, when we say that illegal immigrants do jobs that Americans won't take, well, I think there's some truth in that. I think that when you're second, third, fourth generation Americans, you're not likely to take the job being a school bus driver or in a garbage truck or some of the jobs that the immigrants take. And so, Angel, while I have complete respect for where you're coming from, I guess I think it's a bit harder for people who've had generations that came from slaves than people who are generations from immigrants. And part of the reason is absolutely mental. It's absolutely mental. It's a question of what people are prepared to do to rise themselves out of poverty. And a lot of it is cultural. You also note that you almost got your diploma based on Clinton City Volunteer Corps and AmeriCorps. I would just note again, those are Democratic programs, liberal programs. Everyone attacks liberal programs, and yet we've seen another example, you as well as Jennifer, of these programs actually having an impact, a positive impact on people's lives. Your point about good times, Chico and the Man, Sanford and Son, Sesame Street Electric Company. You know, you're right. Television can be a great learning tool. In fact, one of the things I've always been surprised at is that government doesn't use its power more over education, over TV, to promote education. I think it can do that. After all, these are FCC licenses we give out to people, to televisions, and we should require better education. But I also think that TV is segregating us again. If you look at the WB network or other networks, there's all kinds of networks there, Latino networks, Spanish-speaking networks that are dividing us again, and it would be nice to have and again, you mentioned Sesame Street Electric Company. I don't think it's a coincidence that both of those things are on public television. And again, it's public television that helps bring us all together, that helps teach us as well, and I have a lot more respect for that than the commercial TV that I think divides us into groups. It has every right to do that. I don't think it's very educational. Your last point, Angel, about the kid with the $500 sneaker would most likely get killed for them rather than get respect. I get your point. That may well be true. I want to read another comment, though. It's a very different comment. This is a comment from John. This is really a very powerful comment, and he goes on at length, but I think it's worthwhile reading. John, and I think John's called in before. I'm trying to remember where he's from. But he writes, Mark, first of all, let me say that nothing Bill Cosby said was wrong. Those who feel that way can't accept the truth because sometimes the truth hurts. John writes, I as a black man feel that I am more qualified to say this more than any one person who has not grown up in my skin. Our problem as black people is our own doing. Of course, the system does has its tentacles in the mix, but a lot of our shortcomings are self-inflicted. I'm the only member of my family who's doing well, and that is sad because I'm the only one who didn't have a head start. I grew up in the streets of D.C. and fell to some really rough behavior, spent some time in reform, and used that time away from my circumstances to take it upon myself to get myself together. I thank the judge who sentenced me every time I think about it, because even in bondage, I realized that there was a better way. The reality is that the inner city, John writes, is not the fault of the people who live there, but the fault of those before them who have run it down and failed to reach out and teach people their heritage and the right way to live their lives. Having said that, not taking responsibility for it and living every day to make your surroundings a better place is the fault of those living there. I know, because I visit these situations every time I go home to visit. If it were not for me to stop the pity party and stop blaming physical abuse, drug abuse, abusive parents, etc., for all of my ills and take responsibility for my own success, I would still be living in the roach-infested, drug-hazed, kill-or-be-killed situations that I was raised in. Don't think for a minute that I don't acknowledge the role that society plays in keeping black people and poor people down, but it starts within. I tell people all the time I'm no different than any of my family members. I just know that living that way is beneath the privilege that God gives all his children, and I struggle and fight every day to remember that that is not the way I want to live my life, and it's definitely not the way I want to bring up any children I happen to bring into this world. Thanks for this topic. John, that was profound, and that's why I read the entire email, and I think you're exactly right. It's those that say that it's entirely due to outside forces are not looking within. Those that completely reject Bill Cosby and say, you know what, it's entirely due to racism, it's entirely due to poverty, it's not these people's fault at all, don't see, I think, the way out, the light within that is the light at the end of the tunnel. And conversely, I also agree with you, John, and that's why I really liked your email, because it brought in both sides together. Those that say that it's only these people's fault, that poverty is entirely self-caused, that the reason why we have poor people today is because it's their own fault and they made poor choices as youth, they're also living in a dream world. They're living in the Republican bubble that Armin was talking about. I mean, when Bill Cosby says, you know, people are complaining, this is a quote from Bill Cosby. These are not political criminals. These are people going around stealing Coca-Cola, people getting shot in the back of the head over a piece of pound cake. And then we run out and we're outraged saying the cops shouldn't have shot him. What the hell was he doing with the pound cake in his hand? Well, Bill Cosby, two answers. One, no, the cops shouldn't have shot him for the pound cake. All right? They shouldn't have. It's not worth dying over a pound cake. But number two, why are poor people stealing Coca-Cola and pound cake? Is it because they're immoral, because they're worse than middle class or rich people? No. Middle class and rich people steal too. They just steal better things. Ken Lay stole billions of dollars. Andy Fastow stole billions of dollars. George Bush at Harkin, right? He did insider trading, stole $800,000. Middle class people cheat on their taxes. They also steal downloaded music on the internet. Stealing is as common as humanity. That's why the commandment and the Ten Commandments. It's not the Constitution. The Ten Commandments says do not steal. It's a very old vice. Everybody does it. It is not right. Not saying it's right, but if we don't shoot Ken Lay for stealing billions of dollars, how can we justify shooting a guy stealing a pound cake? I mean, come on. The answer is it's never simple. Conservatives like simple answers. They're going around saying, oh, see, Bill Cosby shows we're right. All liberal programs fail. That's bull. In fact, what we've learned today, and just from my callers, is that these liberal programs succeed, that they actually do succeed in helping people get a better life and helping people get better jobs. They actually do succeed in putting people on the right way. But yes, John is right. It also comes from within. And I would like to see leaders talk about both. I would like to see Al Sharpton stop blaming racism and white people exclusively and start talking about the power within. And I'd like to see Bill Cosby stop blaming poor people only and talk about institutional things, systemic things, the fact that George Bush can inherit, you know, millions of dollars and lose it all and he doesn't have a price to pay. Look, if you want to know the cause of poverty in America, it is both within and without. To the extent that it's without, we policymakers, we can do something about it. And I hope that what this program has shown is that people can and do make a difference. I hope you've enjoyed the Inside Scoop today. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to go in detail about George Tenet, the guy that I said should be fired. months ago and finally is gone from the administration. We're going to explore how it is that George Tenet, by sucking up to presidents, by telling presidents what they want to hear, led to the most catastrophic intelligence failures in American history. That's tomorrow's Inside Scoop, 3 Eastern, 2 Central, 1 Mountain, noon Pacific. And if you like the Inside Scoop, do me a favor. Don't keep it a secret. This is Mark Levine signing off.